or Japanese series, collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
WFXX, your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7, the Fox State College. It is time for a maddening Monday edition of Let's Talk, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's just me flying solo today, your old pal Ironhead in, and man, we are ready to mix it up this week. We've got some great programs rolling your way throughout the week, and you know, probably a mediocre one today to get us started. Phone line is open, 814-954-7266. You know, we got to get warmed up. It's a little chilly out. I know. It happens every year. I get it. It doesn't mean I have to like it. I do not like having to defrost or scrape off the ice from the windows. And I like it less and less with each passing year. But that could be just me. But I don't think it is. Again, lots to get into this morning. 814-954-7266. We'll chat with Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, coming up in the final segment of this morning's big show, right around 9:40, and we'll talk all things weather. And I do suspect we may get into a little football talk. Joe is a big Texas A&M Aggies fan, as well as a Penn State fan. And outside chance, we could talk a little wrestling as well. The Penn State wrestling alum, undoubtedly following a busy weekend in that sport, as we are 2 weeks and 5 days away from the start of the Penn State wrestling season. So Joe Bastardi will join us at 9:40 later in the week. Still working to finalize a few things, but we know we will have John Ziegler coming up on Wednesday. He did a pretty remarkable interview in the Jerry Sandusky saga, and we may play a couple of snippets from it. I do want to get John's take on the overall case, on his work, and we'll just see where that discussion goes. But that will be Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. John Ziegler will join us via the phone from the West Coast. Also on tomorrow's show, very appreciative, Jake Corman reached out a long, long, long time ago. And I have had it on my list of to-do things for a long, long, long time. But he's like, hey, if you ever want to just have me in and talk a little bit about the way Harrisburg works and the way politics in Pennsylvania is set up, I'd be happy to do so. And so finally, I am taking him up on that offer, and Jake will kindly join us in studio tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. We'll probably have him for the entire 9 o'clock hour tomorrow. Lots of different things we'll get into with him, catch up on what life as an ex-politician is like, but really want to talk a lot about just Harrisburg politics in general. He obviously can provide a unique perspective, former senator, father was a longtime senator, and Jake, of course, ran for governor as well, and looking forward to that discussion. So Jake will join us in studio tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Again, John Ziegler will join us over the phone on Wednesday. And we've got a couple of other things in the hopper until we get them finalized. I'll hold off on that. I know Ed Stoddard will be joining us on Thursday morning at about 8:40, and we'll talk some Happy Valley Adventure Bureau stuff and things going on here in the area with him. And again, that'll be on Thursday. And we'll have a few other segments that we will be able to tell you about, I'm pretty confident, tomorrow for later in the week. Of course, some things you need to know about this week. One, it is Halloween week. And if you have not been looking at your calendar, Halloween falls on a Friday this year, meaning Friday night. Folks, be a little cautious, please. If you are having to be out and about in your vehicle, we are going to have kiddos out and about. And you're just going to want to pay a little extra attention, would be my plea to all of you. Lots of trunk-or-treat events over the weekend. We attended one. We had intended to try to get to a couple of others. It was a busy weekend, as seemingly all of the bye weeks for Penn State are. Everybody wants to get their events in, which makes a ton of sense. We'll touch on a few of them as the morning progresses. I had the privilege of being over at the Walk Against Alzheimer's at Medler Field at Lebrano Park. A remarkable turnout there for that event on Saturday morning. My wife was pretty much nonstop involved with the Tussie Mountain Back Race. And if you're not familiar with that, these are insane human beings that think to themselves, you know what I could do with this beautiful weekend is run a long, long way. And I'm not sure how many folks did the 100-mile run, but I know there were some. So there were folks that run 100 miles, or at least they're on their feet for 100 miles. And I don't know what the time is. There is a time limit there in terms of how long it takes them. A good deal more individuals run 50 miles, and then the slightly more sane folks have the relay teams set up to run the 50-mile course. But this occurred, well, some of the folks, the 100-mile folks, were running overnight, Saturday into Sunday, and then most of the folks were running yesterday. And basically the course, little more to it, but it was basically Tussie Mountain to Whipple Dam and back. And there's some loops and stuff in there. Just remarkable that anybody is able to do that. And somewhat remarkable that anybody is willing to try to do that to me. But just a great fundraiser for my wife's foundation, the Jana Marie Foundation, which, of course, does amazing work with young people and mental health. And we are continuing to see an increase in the problems, not just with young people, but certainly with young people and mental health issues. Both locally and throughout the country, throughout the world, for that matter. And so learning about how to address mental health issues and the resources available. Very important, but getting into good mental health habits at an early age, just like good physical health habits, can be very helpful down the road. So we, the Mad Turtle and I helped out with that event for a while. Mad Turtle dealing with a broken pinky, and apparently, man, he busted it up good is what he did. And so we're, I think, going to see a specialist on Wednesday and see what can or can't be done to help the Mad Turtle's pinky. But we have a bunch of activities that are on hold in the meantime. I think trick-or-treat for all of Sutter County, and if anybody, I haven't seen anything different, so that doesn't mean there isn't something different, but I think everybody this year is doing the trick-or-treating Friday night, which is Halloween night, from 6 to 8 p.m. or thereabouts. Again, there, I think there's a couple of, maybe one or two that have, like, I think it's either 5:30 to 7:30, or there's some different hours, but I think most everybody is 6 to 8 here on Friday night. Again, if you know differently, if there's somebody out there that's like, hey, no, our township or our borough does it a little differently, let me know. But I think the overwhelming majority in our listening audience that is going to be trick-or-treating is 6 to 8 here on Friday night. And, of course, we're heading into another busy weekend coming up on the sports front and just with activities going on throughout the area. And we'll be sharing some of those over the course of the morning as well. A lot of folks getting worked up on the, passionately heated debates about who should be the next head coach at Penn State. And there's just so many different things that go into it that I think most of us are not actually thinking through. And, you know, the financial commitment is part of it. But getting somebody that, again, I'm less concerned. I've seen a couple of folks in the media over the weekend. Oh, this better be a splash hire. I respectfully disagree. I don't think it does need to be a splash hire. I think it needs to be the right hire, meaning the coach that will fit with the quote unquote Penn State culture and will give the program its best chance of going out and competing for a national title in the very near future. And had some discussions over the weekend. I think on the Goon and Ironhead show last week, I mentioned that I think the incoming coach has 3 years to get this thing. Again, maybe not 3 years to win a national title, but I think if Penn State is not in the Final Four in one of the next 3 seasons, the first 3 seasons under the new head coach, that pressure is going to be ratcheted up in a hurry. Whether that's fair or not, whether that's right or not, whether that should be, that is going to be the case. Because Penn State has told you, Pat Kraft told you, we are going out to hire a coach to win the national championship. Well, if within 3 years you're not knocking on the door in this world of college football, then you're not heading in the right direction, certainly not quickly enough to appease the folks that are spending the big time money to have you do your job. And I think it is much more difficult than some will make it out to be. And you just look around the rest of the country right now, and listen, there are some coaches having crazy, wild success, and they are the hot names right now, guys like Mike Elko and Kurt Cignetti. But sustained success is even more difficult. And let's see what these guys do. And by the way, I think Cignetti and Elko are fantastic coaches. Elite coaches. I do. But sustained success, like Dabo Swinney once had, like Nick Saban once had, like Kirby Smart has had, that is really difficult. And I think it's going to be increasingly difficult in this NIL transfer portal era, where I think things can change even more quickly than they once did, both good and bad in college football. And you see the precipitous drop for a program like Clemson, and you see the precipitous rise for a program like Indiana, and that's what I'm talking about. That, like, this thing can go off the rails or come together magically, seemingly in an instant. But then how quickly can it reverse the other way in those cases? And again, we have very impatient fan bases, very impatient administrations. And as soon as something is perceived as going off the rails, well, that is it. A move must be made. And it is part of why I think you're just, I don't think you're going to see many folks have like 3-decade plus careers. Not at one school. I'm just saying in general, in the coaching profession, because the money involved is, while it comes with great pressure, it is, can be, and is, life-changing. I mean, it's generational wealth. When you're talking tens of millions of dollars for these contracts for the upper-tier Division I coaches, and so the money, again, is, if you are smart with it, sets you up for the rest of your life if you get one of those big contracts. 5-6 year contracts can get you $50-60 million. And when you combine that with the pressure, all of the different things that now go into it, you know, we never even talk. We talk about parents at the high school level quite a bit, and I saw somebody reference, I think it was last week, somebody that is now out of high school athletic administration, and they made a comment, something to the effect of, yeah, people ask if I miss it, and No, I really don't miss the 10 o'clock calls from parents wondering why their kid isn't getting Division I offers and blaming our coach and administration for that circumstance. But in addition to everything else that college coaches deal with, yeah, they're dealing with those same parents. Hey, my kid should be, yeah, maybe, probably not. So they're dealing with the same everyday mundane stuff along with the NIL, the transfer portal, the pressure from the big money boosters, the pressure from the sponsors, the all of these different things. And as Joe Paterno once commented, paraphrasing, you have to be a little crazy for your livelihood to depend on the decision-making abilities of 18 to 23-year-old men. Like that If you just say that out loud. Yeah. No, all I need is for these 100-plus men, kids, in our eyes, to make the right decision consistently. What could possibly go wrong with my livelihood? With that as the precursor to how I will be judged as successful or not. A couple of other things from over the weekend. If you have something that you attended over the weekend, we saw a few things that we wanted to stop to. I know Wasson Farm has been doing these fall festivals, and man, it just looks like an absolute blast. A ton of people these last couple of weekends, at least, attending the events there, the wagon rides, the tractor rides, all of the activities, all of the great food. I happened to pass that one a few times. So, but man, there is so much fun stuff going on. Also, on behalf of all involved with scouting, including the Mad Turtle, a huge thank you to all of those, and there were a lot of you out in our community who participated in the Scouting for Food event. The food was picked up on Saturday morning in our area, and I know we had my wife had a car full. We were dividing and conquering Saturday morning. I was up at the Walk Against Alzheimer's Saturday morning. My wife and the Mad Turtle were out collecting the food for our scouting den. And I know they had a car load that they dropped off to the State College Food Bank. So a huge thank you to all of you who participated in that, coming into a critical time of the year. Not that there's a non-critical time of the year, I suppose, if you are in need of food, but certainly with the holidays around the corner, this is as important as ever to get those food pantries stocked up. And so a huge thank you again to those that were willing and able to leave the bags of food on the porch or on the doorknobs on Saturday, and another successful Scouting for Food event. Again, if there was something that you were involved in over the weekend and you want to give a shout-out to any of the many, many events we had over the weekend. Great use of the airwaves, 814-954-7266. It was a crazy busy weekend in sports. Penn State football had the bye week, but oh, man, did we have sports out the wazoo, I tell you, this weekend. And we will tell you all about the sports scene when we come back. It's Let's Talk on a Monday right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend
is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? It's so good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Man, it feels like a Monday. Oh, wait, it is a Monday. Phone line will be open again after this segment. But this segment we dedicate to getting you caught up on the local sports scene. You can get all of the national sports news coming up throughout the day with Fox Sports. We will also have some terrific local programming that we will run down for you here in pretty short order. But let's start with, a bye week this past weekend for the Nittany Lion football team. Both Penn State and Ohio State had bye weeks ahead of the, once highly anticipated meeting between the two teams in Columbus this coming Saturday. I'm not sure how eagerly anticipated it now is for many in Nittany Nation. In the Big Ten this weekend, second-ranked Indiana, holy cow, the Hoosiers laid the lumber to UCLA 56-6, the final there. Yeah, Indiana is looking really good. Oregon held off Wisconsin 21-7. Michigan handled Michigan State 31-20. Nebraska outslugged Northwestern 28-21. Washington, man, I'm telling you that quarterback is something. Washington, too much offense for Illinois, 42-25. The Huskies get the win there. Iowa crushing Minnesota, 41-3. And Rutgers gets a late turnover and then a field goal on the final play to beat Purdue 27-24. Nittany Lions and Buckeyes will meet. It'll be a noon kickoff this Saturday That game will be televised on Fox. Penn State now 3-4 and riding that four-game losing streak, winless in Big Ten games. Ohio State ranked number one in the country, rolling. The defending champions are 7-0 this season. In other action this past weekend throughout college football, Texas A&M rolling, and I do mean rolling, to a 49-25 win at LSU. Brian Kelly's going to have a lot of work to do to get that thing turned around. Oh, never mind. Brian Kelly, if you did not see, fired as LSU's head coach yesterday. We are in double digits now of coaches fired in season in Division I college football this season. And I do believe we're going to have some more before it's all said and done. Alabama scored a couple of late touchdowns to beat South Carolina 29-22. Georgia Tech is now 8-0 after a 41-16 win over Syracuse. Ole Miss pulled away late for a 34-26 win at Oklahoma. And Ole Miss is starting to look very, very good. Vanderbilt looking very, very good. They got a big win over Missouri, 17-10. If you did not see it, Bo Prabula, the former Nittany Lion, carted off the field in that one for Missouri with what is believed to be a season-ending injury. BYU remains undefeated. The Cougars with a 41-27 win over Iowa State. Texas needed overtime to get by Mississippi State, but they get a desperately needed victory there, 45-38. It was also Houston over Arizona State, 24-16, and Memphis pulled off a 34-31 victory over South Florida. Also in the ACC, Virginia improving to 7-1 by staving off Bill Belichick's North Carolina team in overtime, 17-16. The rankings at the top remain largely unchanged. Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Alabama, and Georgia, respectively, in the top five in the AP rankings. The top 10 rounded out by Oregon, Ole Miss, Georgia Tech, Vanderbilt, and then a tie between Miami and BYU for 10th this week. Then it is Notre Dame 12th, Texas Tech, Tennessee, Virginia, Louisville, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Texas rounding out the top 20 respectively. Michigan checks in at number 21, and USC is number 22 in this week's AP rankings. And in the coaches poll, the top five identical. It's Ohio State 1, Indiana 2, Texas A&M 3, Alabama 4, and Georgia 5. Then the rest of the top 10 in order. It's Oregon, Georgia Tech, Ole Miss, Miami, and BYU. Vanderbilt is 11th in the coaches poll with Notre Dame 12th. Also from the Big Ten, we have Michigan in there at number 21 in the coaches rankings. Penn State women's volleyball team went to Columbus and defeated Ohio State in four sets yesterday, 22-25, 25-23, 25-17, and 25-18. It was Kennedy Martin putting on the show yesterday for Penn State. Holy smokes, did she put on a show for the Nittany Lions. She finished the day with 26 kills, 21 digs, 4 aces, and a couple of blocks on Friday night. Penn State also swept Rutgers in the Dig Pink match at Rec Hall, 25-23, 25-19, and 25-13. The Nittany Lions are now 13-7 on the season, 7-3 in Big Ten matches. Penn State men's hockey defeating Stonehill 4-2 Saturday night to complete a two-game sweep. After the Nittany Lions rallied for the 3-2 win on Friday night, in Saturday's game, three freshmen scored for the Nittany Lions, along with sophomore J.J. Wybush, who scored the game winner, Jackson Smith, Gavin McKenna, and Shea Van Olm all scored for the Nittany Lions in the victory Saturday. In Friday's win, Gavin McKenna scored his first goal at home at Pagola Ice Arena for Penn State. His goal tied the game before J.J. Wybush scored the game winner on Friday as well on a power play with just 22 and a half seconds left in the third period. Nittany Lions now 7-1 on the season. Penn State will open up Big Ten play at Ohio State this weekend. Penn State women's hockey team, the first in the country to 10 wins this year. The Nittany Lions sweeping a pair of games from Lindenwood by scores of 5-0 on Saturday and 6-1 on Friday. Again, Penn State now 10-0 on the season. Maddie Campbell made 18 saves to preserve the shutout Saturday afternoon. And Caitlin Roberts scored 2 of the Penn State goals on Saturday. Matilda Fanton added a goal and 2 assists, and Kendall Butts and Abby Stonehouse also scored for the Nittany Lions. In Friday's game, Tessa Janicki and Nicole Hall each scored a pair of goals to lead the offensive attack. Katie Deesa with 11 saves in net. Penn State will be traveling to Robert Morris for a pair of games this coming weekend. Quite the weekend at the Under-23 World Freestyle Wrestling Championships in Serbia. 3 Penn State wrestlers captured gold medals, and freshman P.J. Duke earned the bronze. Penn State sophomore Luke Lilidahl took home the title at 57 kilos yesterday. He went 4-0 and defeated Japan's Yuta Kikuchi in the championship bout 4-0. A really nice takedown at the edge of the mat in that one for Lilidahl. Penn State senior Levi Haynes captured gold at 79 kilos yesterday. Haynes winning the title bout by technical superiority 11-1 over Ibrahim Yaprak of Turkey. And on Saturday, Penn State junior Mitchell Messenbrink won gold at 74 kilos. In the finals, Messenbrink gave up the initial takedown to Mohamed Osmus of Turkey and then reeled off 6 straight takedowns of his own to win a 12-2 technical superiority. Messenbrink also knocked off the reigning senior world champion, Yoshi Aoyagi, of Japan in the semifinals with a late takedown. It was challenged. The challenge did not win the challenge, Japan, and so it ended up a 7-4 win for Messenbrink in that semifinal bout en route to the gold. Also, freshman P.J. Duke battled back from a semifinals loss to the eventual gold medalist from Azerbaijan, Kanan Heybatov, and Duke takes bronze, Duke defeating David Margarian of Armenia by fall to take the bronze medal. And again, just a remarkable showing for the Penn State contingent and the United States. Freshman Marcus Blaze lost a 4-2 decision in the opening round to Bilal Sharap Ulu of Kazakhstan. Redshirt sophomore and transfer from Ohio State, Rocco Welsh, went 2-1 at 86 kilos. He was defeated in the quarterfinals by the Iranian, Abel Fazi Rahmani. And Josh Barr was injured in his second match in the quarterfinals and could not continue. Would have had a chance to wrestle back and try to get bronze, but not clear just yet how significant that injury may be. May learn a little bit more about that this week. Also for the United States, Jax Forrest will be wrestling for gold today at 61 kilos, the true freshman at Oklahoma State from right here in Pennsylvania, in Bishop McCourt. Also, Garavas Kukabalau, was in the quarterfinals before he lost at 97 kilos, and Dane Herrera finished fifth at 125 kilos for the United States. So, again, a very good showing. The United States actually leads the team standings heading into today is the final day. The U.S. can clinch the team title if Jax Forrest wins his gold medal match and Iran loses one of its two bronze medal matches. United States, again, has the lead heading into the day. They can clinch the team title and will finish no worse than second in the team championships at the under-23 World Freestyle Championships. Also, just running through some of the other results in the women's championships, the United States' Kylie Welker won gold at 76 kilos. Audrey Jimenez and Jasmine Robinson each earned silver at 50 and 72 kilos, respectively. And Alexis Janiak took bronze at 59 kilos. U.S. also had two bronze medalists in Greco-Roman in Otto Black at 67 kilos and Peyton Jacobson at 87 kilos. One additional note. In the 2025 World Wrestling Championships, so this would be the under-20 championships, the under-23 championships, which will wrap up today, and the senior World Championships, Penn State and Nittany Lion Wrestling Club wrestlers represented the country in 15 of the 30 weight classes. Those 15 wrestlers brought home 11 medals, including 6 golds, along with 2 silvers and 3 bronze medals. Folks, that is historic stuff. Half of the world team members in those 3 divisions were from Penn State and or the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club. Also, Saturday night, more wrestling. Real American Freestyle 2 was held at the Bryce Jordan Center. Some of the results from that, Austin DeSanto defeated Penn State alum Nico Megalutis 10-0. Taj Mraz Salkazanov earned a 4-4 decision over James Green of the U.S. Mason Paris rolled to an 11-0 victory over Alexander Romanoff. Caden Henschel won a match of media influencers over Muggsy Jimison, 11-1. Nate Jackson looked very good. He won a battle over 5-time NCAA champion Carter Storace of Penn State, 7-2. Jake Varner earned a 5-1 decision over Pat Downey. David Carr beat Amir Rita, 18-6. Nathan Tomasello held off Matt Ramos, 5-3. Helen Maroulis was a 6-0 winner over Samantha Stewart. And Kyle Dake knocked off Boris Makov by a final of 7-1. Pretty neat event. I'd be curious to get people's takes on it, and we'll discuss it probably a little bit more as the morning unfolds, but Real American 2 at the Jordan Center Saturday night. A Real American Freestyle 3 will be held in Chicago coming up here in late November. Penn State women's soccer team wrapping up the regular season yesterday with a 2-0 victory over Ohio State at Jeffrey Field. Bella Iskew and Caitlin McBean scored the Penn State goals. Mackenzie Gress made 3 saves to preserve the shutout. Penn State heads into the Big Ten tournament at Purdue with a record of 9-6-3 overall, 5-4-2 in Big Ten games during the regular season. Cold game at Wisconsin Saturday night. A little chilly out there in Madison. Penn State men's soccer shut out by the Badgers 2-0. The Nittany Lions fall to 5-7-3 in the season, 1-5-2 in the Big Ten. The Nittany Lions will play the final road game of the campaign Friday night at Ohio State. Penn State field hockey squad losing to fifth-ranked Princeton yesterday 6-1. Joji Purdy scored the only goal for Penn State. On Friday, the Nittany Lions rolled to an 8-0 win over Lock Haven. Ella Jen scored the hat trick for the Nittany Lions in that one, while Natalia Freeman added 2 goals and 2 assists. Penn State back under 500, though, for the season now at 7-8. The Nittany Lions will play the regular season finale at home against Rutgers this Friday at 5 p.m. The Penn State men's basketball team wrapping up the exhibition schedule with an 86-67 win over Shippensburg yesterday at the Jordan Center. The Nittany Lions scored the first 19 points of the game and held a 48-19 lead at halftime. Got a lot of folks some work there in the second half. Freddie DeLeon, the fifth, leading Penn State with 21 points on 7 of 11 shooting. He also had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. Eli Rice added 17 points for the Nittany Lions. Penn State will open up the regular season 1 week from today against Fairfield. That'll be a 7 o'clock tip-off at the Bryce Jordan Center. The Penn State men's and women's swimming and diving teams losing at Pitt in a 2-day meet Friday and Saturday. On the men's side, Eduardo Cisternas won both the 500 and the 1,000. Freestyle races. Cooper Morley won both the 100 and 200 yard backstroke, and Mariano Lazzarini won both the 100 and 200 breaststroke for Penn State. On the women's side, Morgan Moore won the 1,000 yard freestyle and took second in the 500 free. Catherine Meisner also had a pair of second place finishes in both the 200 free and the 200 IM. Penn State fencing teams opened up their season at the Nikki Frank Invitational at Temple over the weekend. On Saturday, Lena Gines led the women in Epe, finishing 22nd, and Sabre, Yunu Kim, led the way for Penn State with a 5th place finish. High school football Friday night. The Little Lions caused 4 turnovers, but came up short at Bishop McDevitt, 36-20, your final there. Connor Kolka threw touchdown passes to A.J. Fry and Hank Lustig, and Deontay Sheffy had a 5-yard touchdown run. But the Little Lions fall to 8-2 now on the season, and State College will win the District 6 6A championship and head into sub-regional play a week from Friday. The other 4 Center County teams closed out the regular season with victories. Belfont defeating Greater Johnstown 31-19. Red Raiders are now 4-6, heading into the District 6 Quad A playoffs. Bald Eagle Area ends the regular season with a 500 record after Friday night's 21-0 shutout of Central Cambria. Phillipsburg Osceola defeated Bedford 28-6 as the Mounties head into the District 6 playoffs with a 5-5 record, and Penns Valley ends its season with a 28-0 win over Westmont Hilltop. The Rams finish the year with a 2-8 mark, while the Hilltoppers go 0-10. Center County teams in the District 6 playoffs now. State College will have a bye week before facing the District 10 champion in a sub-regional a week from Friday. Belfont will host Johnstown in the Quad A semifinals Friday night at 7. The winner will face Juniata the following week for the District 6 title. Also, Tyrone will be at Huntingdon in a AAA semifinal game Friday. And in the AA quarterfinals, it'll be Bald Eagle Area visiting Bishop McCourt on Friday night. At the District 6 Boys Cross Country Championships on Saturday, the State College boys and girls both winning the AAA titles. Belfont's boys finished 2nd to Central Cambria, while Penns Valley placed 7th. Bald Eagle Area was 8th and Phillipsburg Osceola 10th. The Belfont girls were 3rd behind champion Central Cambria and runner-up Marion Setter. Penns Valley was 5th, Bald Eagle Area 6th, and Phillipsburg Osceola 9th. Marion Setter won the Single A Boys Championship, while the Single A Girls title was won by Richland. Individually, in the boys' AAA race, Day College's Theo Opperman was second to Carter Smith of Mifflin County. The Little Lions had six runners finish in the top 11. Joining runner-up Opperman was Luke Bradbury in third place, Thomas Ruffing in seventh, Dexter Walker in ninth, Kyle Fritsch in tenth, and Owen Viglione in 11th place. State College's Evelyn Yonkin was the District 6 champion in the individual girls' AAA race. Teammates Autumn Swisher, Carolyn Frank, and Julia Bigger placed 5th through 7th, respectively. And State College's Sylvia Hutchinson was 9th, while Lacey Schaefer placed 10th. Ainsley Barabas was also 13th for State High. In the boys' AA race, Belfont's Jonathan Gasper was the runner-up to Ethan Heisisak of Central Cambria. Red Raiders' Maverick Muchmore was 7th and Carson Frischman 13th. Penns Valley's Taven Price was 8th and Bald Eagle Area's Owen DeChow was 10th. Penns Valley's Will Mayer also placed 20th. Also, Addison Fry of Belfont was the runner-up in the girls' AA race behind only Lainey Berkheimer of Central. Belfont's Natalie Jolly was 4th, and Bald Eagle Area's Heidi Eveleth was 11th. Penns Valley's Liliana Smith was 15th, and Penns Valley's Jesseline Price finished 17th. Noah Knobloch of Bishop Carroll won the boys' single-A race, while Natalia Mavridis of Richland took the girls' single-A title. State College also won the JV boys' and girls' titles, with State College's Benjamin Alexander winning the boys' race and teammate Adrian Doran taking second. State College's Ann Horgas won the girls' race, with teammate Caitlin Bayless finishing second in that race. Congratulations to all. Also, on Friday night, the Penns Valley girls volleyball team sweeping Phillipsburg Osceola in the District 6 AA playoffs. Penns Valley will now play at second-seeded Bald Eagle Area tomorrow night in the quarterfinals. State College has already clinched the District 6 Quad A title and will advance to the state playoffs. The District 6 soccer playoffs continue this week. Tonight, in the boys' AA semifinals, a couple of Center County teams will be in action. At 6 o'clock, second-seeded Penns Valley will play 8th-seeded West Shamokin. And at 7 o'clock, 4th-seeded Bald Eagle Area will face top-seeded Juniata at Mifflin County High School. In the girls' AA semifinals tonight, it will be Juniata playing at Cambria Heights at 6, and Central will visit Forest Hills at 7. The Pittsburgh Steelers had a 16-7 lead at halftime, but everybody was pretty insistent that they go ahead and play the second half. Doggone it. And, well, Jordan Love made sure the Packers passed by these Steelers. See what I did there? Jordan Love completed 29 of 37 passes for 360 yards and three touchdowns at Acrisure Stadium. And the Packers come back and win it by a final of 35-25 last night. Miserable. Just miserable. Did not care for that second half even a little bit. Steelers fall to 4-3 on the season. Good news is they're in the AFC North. Chris Boswell connected on all four field goals as well. But the Steelers are still in first place. Thank you, AFC North. Philadelphia Eagles exacted a measure of revenge on the New York Giants for their loss 2 weeks ago. Yesterday, Saquon Barkley ran for 150 yards and a touchdown. He also caught four passes for 24 yards and another score. Jalen Hurts threw for 179 yards and four touchdowns. And one of those to Jahan Dotson, Penn State alum. Eagles beating the Giants 38-20. To improve to 6-2 on the season. Penguins last Saturday night in a shootout to the Blue Jackets 5-4. Pittsburgh will now play three games over the next four nights, starting with a home matchup against the Blues tonight at 7 o'clock. In the loss on Saturday, Anthony Mantha had a goal and an assist, and Evgeny Malkin added a couple of assists for Pittsburgh. Philadelphia Flyers won a shootout on Saturday, beating the Islanders 4-3 to improve to 4-3-1 on the season. Penguins, by the way, now 6-2-1. Trevor Zegras scored three goals to lead the Flyers, one of those in the shootout. Philadelphia will host the Penguins in their next game tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. 76ers on Saturday beat the Hornets 125-121. Tyrese Maxey scored 28. Quentin Grimes had 24, and Joel Embiid added 20 in the win. The Sixers off to a 2-0 start. Philadelphia will host the Orlando Magic tonight at 7 o'clock. The World Series is even at one game apiece. After the Dodgers and Blue Jays split the first two games in Toronto on Saturday night, the Dodgers' Yoshi Yamamoto threw a complete game four-hitter. Yamamoto allowed just one run on those four hits. He retired the final 20 batters he faced. Incredible outing. He finished with eight strikeouts and no walks. I think that's what we would call a quality start. Will Smith and Max Muncy belted seventh-inning home runs to break a 1-1 tie. The Dodgers, again, even that series after Toronto took Game 1 on Friday night, 11-4, the Blue Jays broke open what was a 2-2 game in that one with a 9-run sixth inning. Ernie Clement had the go-ahead RBI single, but it was Addison Barker with the big blow, a pinch hit grand slam. Alejandro Kirk added a 2-run homer in the inning. The series will shift to Los Angeles for Game 3 tonight, a little after 8 o'clock Eastern time. Yep, I'm rooting for the Blue Jays. Wrong league, wrong country. I don't want the Dodgers. What can I tell you? It's just that simple for me. Other NFL action from yesterday, in case you missed it. And I really wish I had missed that final game. First of all, tonight it'll be the Commanders at the Chiefs. Commanders are 3-4. Kansas City comes in at 4-3. Yesterday, the Miami Dolphins, with a rousing 34-10 win over the Falcons, the New York Jets get their first win. They beat the Bengals 39-38. It was the Patriots all over the Browns 32-13. It was the Bills cruising to a 40-9 victory over the Panthers. The Ravens, doggone it, get their second win of the season. They routed the Bears 30-16. It was the Texans over the 49ers 26-15. The Buccaneers topped the Saints 23-3. How about them Broncos? Denver beats the Dallas Cowboys 44-24. The Indianapolis Colts are now 7-1. They cruised to a 38-14 win over the Titans. Told you there was a lot of sports. We're back with some open phone time after this. A couple of minutes still left in the program on a Monday morning.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News & World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now, that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff Byers with you. The phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266. If you would like to join the program, you can share if you experienced anything fun over the weekend. Or, for that matter, anything that wasn't as fun as you were anticipating. That would be fine as well. Again, after our program this morning, Mr. Gacy, by the way, on vacation all week long, hopefully enjoying some wonderful family time down at the World of Disney. And so he'll be back next Monday. Today, after this little program, we'll have the Dan Patrick Show with Fox Sports. Then Joe Ludnowski will start getting you ready for the Ohio State game on Saturday. What are we thinking, folks? Do we have some folks out there that are optimistic? I'm normally a pretty glass-half-full optimistic fellow. Overall, with the program, I still am. This particular game, not so much. But, it's sports. Crazy things happen. keep our fingers crossed, because I don't know what else to do. Also at 2 o'clock, late lunch with Chris Buccanati. He'll talk some Penn State football here, undoubtedly, as well. More Penn State talk with the Keystone Kickoff Show and Jim Galati from 3 to 4. And I believe we still have Fox Sports right now. Judd Donahue working his way back here. We're hoping that he'll be back on soon. But I, unless I missed a note over the weekend, which is entirely possible, I think we're still with Fox Sports here from 4 to 6 today. And then the Penn State Players Show with Goon Conlon and Landon Tengwall over at the Penn State Golf Courses. That will run from 6 to 7 this evening. And at 7 o'clock, we'll have NFL football for you, the Commanders and the Chiefs tonight. Not overly optimistic about the Commanders' chances in that one either. Again, open phone time here, 814-954-7266. It is amazing to see. It really is. The different perspectives on a wide variety of issues, whether it's politics and where some people see hypocrisy and others just don't. And again, both sides, I think at the end of the day, yeah, there's some hypocrisy there. Hey, we don't like the government shutdown when the other side does it. Oh yeah, no, we're doing it. It's okay. And how the blame game is played with that stuff is always just fascinating to watch. So we have that going on. Really curious to talk to Jake Corbin tomorrow and get his take on the state government shutdown and what can be done there. I also did take note. I haven't seen quite the same hysteria, but we're okay with Josh Shapiro changing some things with the state house. And by the way, let the record show I'm okay with it. It's security upgrades. I understand him. And this is his private residence. But, interestingly enough, we're upset over Donald Trump making changes to the White House, not using government funding. But I'm not seeing a lot of outrage over Josh Shapiro using $1 million in taxpayer money for upgrades at his residence. I'm just curious. I don't necessarily have a problem with it, by the way. We need our public officials to be safe. We do. Actually, it'd be nice if we could just create a world where we're all safe. Would be kind of a cool little concept to follow through on. But how we get to that relative safety anyway is also a source of great and sometimes bitter contention. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break here. Just I'm looking at the clock and I'm trying to make sure we stay somewhat close to on schedule here, again, with a busy weekend in local sports and on the sports scene in general. Man, a lot of folks have a lot of opinions on this next hire for Penn State football. And while the money is going to be substantial and the opportunity is going to be probably a pretty neat one, for whoever gets it, I'm not sure I really would want the type of pressure that is going to come with this job. And national perspective here as well when we come back, because, and we're even seeing it in the NFL. I'm listening to some of the discussions over the weekend and some of my Steelers buddies after the Pittsburgh loss last night. A little perspective, I think, is okay from time to time. And we'll try to give just a tinge of that when we come back. You're listening to Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand Multi-Force stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Foxy Knowledge.
It's Let's Talk on a Monday morning, coming off a busy little weekend. Phone line is open. Love hearing from you, 814-954-7266. We'll talk all things weather and more with Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. That'll be coming up in the final segment around 9:40 this morning. In the meantime, again, if there's something on your mind that you want to weigh in on, we are all ears. We'd love to hear from you this morning. And there is a lot to go over from this past weekend. We like having a little fun, too. We'll go through the national day and what all is going on there. Did this heist at the Louvre has gotten quite the media spectacle since it occurred. French police did make the first arrests over the weekend with the heist in Paris, about a week after the $100 million in jewels were taken from the probably world's most famous museum, I think would be most visited anyway. I think it would be fair to call it the most famous. Officials said two of the suspects detained include one that was getting ready to depart for Algeria. To this point, officials say they have not recovered any of the stolen jewels. So, I find that interesting. with the two suspects that they have in custody. Nothing recovered as of yet. Again, it really was an amazing, and most, I think, probably rightfully suspecting an inside job. This was, again, very brazen. We'll call it that. Very brazen theft back on October 19th. And reading through some of the stories on this, I guess they're not expecting that all of the jewels will be recovered. Apparently, having never been a jewel theft myself, I mean, I guess it makes sense, but a lot of the jewelry, apparently, in thefts like this, just gets melted down pretty much immediately, and then, you know, remade, and or it gets, and this is what is just fascinating to me, and this goes to the gambling stuff as well. And I've talked to some folks that know more about this, and they've explained it to whatever degree they can. And maybe it's just the naive little world I live in that I can't really wrap my head around how you initially get involved with this stuff. But like if I were to go out and somehow pull off a grand jewelry heist, how do you know where to find the people who are going to purchase said stolen jewelry without tipping off the authorities that I had the goods? But again, I'm watching, and I actually read through an excerpt over the weekend from a longer piece, and one of the, security experts, jewelry security experts, said that a lot of times this stuff gets sold, like they already have the buyers lined up, so they steal it and then they send it immediately, and it's really hard to track then, I guess, for authorities where the jewelry actually ends up. But I'm fascinated by that process. How do you, hey, any of you stealing jewelry out there, I'm in the market. I'm the guy you want to contact. Like, that just is a fascinating sub-story to this whole thing. How do you get involved with, yep, I'm the guy. I'm the guy you got to call. I'm willing to pay top dollar for these stolen goods. That's just a fascinating market to me. And it's much like the gambling stuff, and now it's coming out Antonio Gates now with the NFL. And again, there seems to be, we'll follow this story. There are some folks out there. I was watching Fox News for a bit over the weekend. They had a, I think this guy was previously in the mafia, if I was understanding his backstory right. But he's like, oh yeah, this is commonplace. This is going on all over the place and has been going on all over since the 1970s. And this being the where you pay, and it's interesting because I know some folks involved in Up and Up, like these are legit opportunities to come to events and pal around with celebrities. And so my mind goes to two things. One is, are the events that are on the up and up where you're trying to raise money for charities or for, you know, good causes, are they going to see a dip in folks willing to attend because, oh man, I don't want to be duped? Now, I get the feeling in listening to some of the stories here, at least some of these setups were just painfully obvious setups. And I guess that's a big part of why now we're seeing the authorities be able to crack down, is the one story over the weekend was that the celebrities were going all in before they were even looking at their hands. It's like, well, that's like, you got to have a little bit of, you got to sell it a little bit here, folks. And so in some cases, they're making it painfully obvious. Now, if you're at one of those events, right, and you're looking around and nobody, none of the everyday Joes, quote unquote, are winning, well, yeah, your suspicions should be going up. Now, again, the events that I've attended, and there's been a few, it's like, well, no, these people are winning over here, those people are winning over there. And I'm not a poker player. It is funny to listen to folks that do play poker regularly when they get at a table with somebody who doesn't know what they're doing and still get some wins anyway. So, well, no, that person didn't deserve to win. That's not what you do on the whatever hand. And it, okay. And every now and then, and that was the thing. Every now and then, yeah, you get a feeling and you go against the odds, and every now and then that pays off. But apparently at some of these events, it was like, huh, that keeps paying off every time for the folks that are involved in the scheme, the celebrities or the hosts of these events. So I do worry that we're going to see folks get too wary of legitimate good opportunities to help good causes, and this becomes a black mark on everything. It's the same thing. I do wonder, how do you initially get involved in this stuff? Because if, like a Chauncey Billups, I mean, you're a famous athlete. I get that people may come to you all the time with different schemes of different kinds, my word, schemes. But how do you, this is what we want to do. We want to dupe a bunch of people in the public, and we think you're the guy that'll go along with this. Like, how do those initial discussions go? Because I have to believe there's a good number of folks out there that it's like, well, no, I'm not participating in that. Now, how many that say, no, I'm not participating in that, will then turn around and go to the authorities and say, hey, just so you know, this scoundrel over here is trying to get me. or are there threats? Is it a threatening thing where it's like, hey, come here, we got to talk to you. You either do this or you like your kneecaps, don't you? I mean, I don't know enough about it, I guess, to know how those initial discussions, quote unquote, go. It just seems like a weird thing to go into without knowing what the answer is going to be. And if you don't know what the answer is going to be, how could you ask? It's just, that stuff always fascinates me. And we'll keep an eye on this. There are experts, you know how I love the experts, but there are experts saying, oh yeah, we are truly just scratching the surface here. And the degree and the amount of different scandals along these lines, on the betting front, whether it's with professional sports, college sports, these poker tournaments, other celebrity events, they're like, yeah, no, this is, if we are going to continue to pull the thread, we're going to be shocked at just how deep the corruption on this element of society, the sports celebrity side of things, just how deep that runs. Ugh. And on one hand, yep, not surprising. If that turns out to be the case, and the more I'm listening to the people that say they know, the more I'm like, yeah, they're probably right. This is a pretty systemic problem. And I'm not exactly sure, as we talked about last week, I'm not exactly sure. I'd love if folks out there have know a little more about this. Like, how do you go about trying to stop this? And how do you set up investigations to prevent it? Now, some of this stuff, again, was apparently painfully obvious. Like, if you're having everybody at a celebrity event, the celebrities are going all in. They're not looking at their cards. It's like, huh, well, that does seem a little suspicious. But as somebody who, again, is completely foreign to this world, it seems like it would not be that hard to make it not quite as obvious and to, we'll just take a couple hundred. We'll even let somebody win here. But then we'll take the, 80% of the winnings so that somebody else goes home happy, too. Like, it seems like it would be pretty easy to not make it as obvious and still get away with some chicanery. And much the same thing in the sports world. Again, who's going to know whether or not your hamstring was actually pulled or not? And you came out of the game when you had 52 yards and the over-under was 60 yards on your rushing for the night or on your point total in basketball or whatever it may be. And to what degree can we afford to extend resources on all of this stuff with the other investigative problems that need addressed, i.e., human trafficking, murders. I mean, you go right down the list. The fentanyl crisis. I want games to be on the up and up. I want this stuff investigated. But on the priority list, let's make sure we don't have human slaves in this country. How about we start there? Well, again, we have limited number of folks that are investigating all of these things and a limited number of resources that we can devote across the board. And I suspect the folks running these operations know all of that. Take a break here. Isn't it an uplifting Monday? You're listening to Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golick, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coolest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
You're listening to Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff Byers, your old pal Ironhead, with you all week long, flying solo. Mr. Gacy will be back a week from today. Open phone time here for the next 10 minutes or so at 814-954-7266. Perspective, always a challenge, I think, for all of us. We hear sometimes about, again, this is all relative, so I understand it, but we will have stories on the poor, in this country, and we have folks that are considered poor who have a car, who have computers, who have, again, when you look at other parts of the world, it's like, well, that is as rich could be. And again, it's perspective, and I'm not saying that we don't have people that are hurting that have those things. Not my point. It's just, it's all relative. And this coaching search is just, it's really fascinating for me, to see what different people in the same fan base are looking for. And the idea that, yeah, Penn State just has to, like what we would all like to see, and I think this would be, I think everybody in the fan base, yeah, we want to see a coach who will come in, graduate every student athlete who comes through the program. Everyone who comes through the program will be a wonderful human being out there doing good in society, not making wrong decisions off the field, and they go win multiple national championships. Okay. Great. Sounds wonderful. Again, we're dealing with 100-plus individuals who have been largely told for a significant period of time that they're special because of their athletic gifts. We are a sports-crazed society. And in some cases, they are being given things as a result of their athletic abilities. And even now in the recruiting process, maybe to some degree it's always been, but certainly more now than ever, hey, what are you giving me? It's not, do not think that very often coaches are going to the kids and, hey, what are you going to bring to our program? That is not how this is working. It is the coaches telling the kids and their families, this is what we're going to provide for you. Financially, playing opportunity-wise, facilities-wise, we're going to give you the nicest weight room. We're going to give you X amount of cash. We're going to give you the best meals. We're going to provide first-class travel accommodations. We're going to, well, then we're going to turn around and demand that these kiddos, young adults, well, you better behave responsibly. You better know that eyes are watching you and you better make the right decisions all of the time. Okay. I never had any of those things being offered to me, and I may have made maybe not the best decision, maybe like even two or three times throughout my college life. So I think sometimes a little perspective. Also, just on the, well, we've, James Franklin, 4-21 in big games. Well, okay, those big games were against other really good teams with really good coaches. Yeah, Ironhead, 4-21, dude. That doesn't cut it. Okay. Also, they are demanding the same thing at Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, Washington, USC. You could probably throw in some other programs, maybe in the near future, Indiana now, in the Big Ten. You go to the SEC, Florida and LSU, they're looking for new coaches. Well, they're not looking for new coaches. Yeah, we want guys who can do a pretty good job here. We'd like you to get us to where we're solid. No! Florida and LSU are bringing in coaches because they expect those coaches to win national championships. Plural. Well, yeah, that's what we want at Penn State. Right, right. But there's like six or seven other schools in the Big Ten that are, I'll use the term all in, like they are invested. They're alumni, their administration. Man, we're going to do whatever it takes. Well, again, there's one team is the way this works that gets to win the national title each season. Well, you now have Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, Florida in the SEC, Tennessee. And now you have Vanderbilt. Oh, Ironhead, that's not the expectation. Well, let's see how quickly that changes. Missouri's expectations are starting to rise. Again, the as great as what Kurt Cignetti has done is, and it is, it's beyond impressive. But now, when you combine that with what Vanderbilt's doing and what Georgia Tech is doing, well, now it's not just all of these always haves. The Ohio States and the Georgias and the Alabamas of the world. Now it is a lot of programs that have been middle tier programs. So, hey, Indiana, that they're going to go to the playoffs for a second straight year. Maybe they win a national title this year. Well, why can't we do that? So you end up with like 40 to 45 programs that think, yes, we should be winning national titles, or at least a national title over a 10-year period. Well, again, the math, although I'm not great at math, I can add this up, it's going to leave for a lot of disappointed fan bases, disappointed administrations. No, but Ironhead, we're going all in at Penn State. Like, Pat Kraft, like, he really wants it. Okay, he does. And I think he's really smart, and I think they will do a lot of things to make this line up and try to get accomplished. And they may. I'm not sitting here telling you Penn State can't do it, that they won't get the coach that makes this happen. But what I am telling you is it's unlikely. The more likely scenario is, yeah, Penn State's pretty good more often than not. Maybe really good from time to time. But you're trying to make headway in a world where I would say at least 30 programs, like that is what they're expecting as well. And they feel like they are going all in and they're willing to invest. It is really competitive. And it doesn't take much to disrupt the opportunity to be in that battle for Big Ten or national titles. And my argument, I had a couple of discussions over the weekend, and I don't know if folks are misinterpreting what I'm saying on air as well. My point isn't one way or the other on James Franklin and whether you should have been satisfied or whether this is the right time to make a move. That may all be true. My point is simply that I believe the more likely scenario in terms of how this plays out is Penn State doesn't get to the Final Four over the next 5 years. I think that is a more likely scenario than Penn State goes out and wins a national title. And it's not because Pat Kraft isn't smart and they won't make a good hire or the program is lacking anything. It's because there's a ton of really good coaches, really good programs. Like, I get Brian Kelly isn't the most likable guy. I'm not a huge Brian Kelly fan. The idea that that guy isn't a good football coach is absurd. And I'm not arguing whether LSU, I mean, the results were not great at LSU. And sometimes it's a culture clash. It's not the right personality with the right team. And that may be. But Brian Kelly does know how to coach football. Most of these guys that have Division I jobs, that they know how to coach the sport. They know how to spot talent. Do you have the resources to acquire that talent? Do you have the resources to develop that talent the way the talent wants developed? Do you have the ability to keep that talent relatively humble, relatively hungry? Well, again, there's a lot of folks trying to do exactly that. I'm just telling you it's a lot easier said than done. And I sincerely hope, and I do think there's a chance this does work out beautifully. Maybe within the next 5 years we're talking about, man, Penn State made the right hire. Can you believe we've won 3 national titles in a row? Could happen. And it would be awesome. And I would be cheering on. I think it is not very likely. That's all. Take a break here. Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com rolls your way next.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News & World Report 2025 ranked Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now, that's a great accolade. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
Stay big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Boy, it is a beautiful looking Monday morning at that. Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, kind enough to join us for the final segment this morning. Good morning, Mr. Bastardi. How are we doing?
Good. How are you this morning?
Pretty darn good. Be doing a little better if the Steelers had, you know, shown up for the second half of last night's game, but overall, doing pretty well. I presume you're pretty happy after your Aggies laid the lumber to LSU, and ultimately Brian Kelly now joining James Franklin on the unemployment line this morning. But, man, Texas A&M looked good.
James Franklin's a much nicer person, that I'll tell you.
I think that is, yes, I think that is a fair assessment.
I've never seen anyone berate. Well, Jimbo would berate people on the sidelines, too. You know, I mean, I used to watch that, and it got me aggravated watching him. But you know, it's no excuse the way he treats his coaches and stuff like that. It, bottom line is, the guy's always talked bigger than what he has accomplished. I knew when he went down there, and why he trashes Notre Dame on the way out.
Yep.
That was unbelievable. I mean,
yep.
You know, say what you want about Notre Dame, but why trash someone on your way out like that, you know, with that situation? It wasn't that they fired Kelly. He went and got another job. So why, you know, why can't win a national title at Notre Dame? Well, that turned around pretty quick, given that they were in the national finals. But, yeah, you know, what's interesting about the Aggies is, and I, like I said, I've had battered Aggie syndrome. So, I mean, the second quarter, my son, my brother, and me text each other. And the only rational person in there is my brother, because he's coached football for so many years. And, you know, sometimes the lack of discipline on the Aggies, or throwing that pick in the end zone. Yeah. And in the second quarter, they're down at the 4 or 5 yard line, first and goal. I don't understand why offensive coordinators have to do that. You're first and goal at the 4, right? Why don't you, you know, run a play, especially since your offensive line could be one of the best in the country. And that weightlifting coach at A&M was the former LSU weightlifting coach. He's done an unbelievable job with that Aggie line. They just push it. They got a guy on that. They got a guy on the line, offensive guard, that squats over 700 pounds. And even if you have to just block straight ahead, if you're squatting that much weight, you're what you call unbelievable amount of strength. But I don't understand that. So watching the Aggies, everybody's Penn State fans up here don't care about the Aggies. I figured that out about 40 years ago. But the fact is that they still have not put together a good, what I would call a total game. Oregon's put a couple together. So Ohio State every weekend is putting together a total game. Indiana most of the time is doing it. So that's what's interesting about A&M, in that they're capable of losing to 3 of the last 4 teams they play, but they're also capable of beating them all. So it's going to be interesting to see where they wind up. Guy's a good coach, but he's not coming here, folks. I'll tell you that. If you ever went down to A&M and looked at those facilities,
yep,
you'd be nuts. You'd be nuts to leave, because they just do it up down there. You know, as much as I love Penn State, and we've had all the upgrades, it's just going to be crazy seeing who's going to come here. You know, I like this guy from Brigham Young. I like the Brigham Young coach, for instance. He's sort of flying under the radar, but he's a real solid person.
Yeah, I don't know how he's flying under the radar because, holy cow, are they doing some amazing things there. But
they do overachieve, and that's a good sign. In any case, our weather has been overachieving with such nice weather. Boy, this morning here, I got down to 24 at the house this morning.
Yeah, we were so at 25 at least according to my car this morning when I went out to start it at around a little after 6. So.
Yeah, well, that's impressive because it's probably a little bit colder than that. You know, the car gives off a little bit of heat, but that's impressive. But we got a lot of rain coming later Wednesday night into Thursday here. Probably going to see some of the, you know, some places in West Virginia pick up a little snow with that. We're not going to see any snow with it. But the big weather news overall is Melissa, which is doing exactly what it was supposed to do, which was become a major hurricane. I think I was talking about that a week ago. And 2 weeks ago, I say, man, I can't believe we haven't seen the late season development out of the Western Caribbean. And sure enough, it finally developed. I said something on Twitter that I thought it would be the worst storm to ever hit Jamaica. And I still think that the combination of rain and the wind down there. But it's also then going to go get Cuba, specifically Guantanamo. So, you know, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, I'll be interested in Club Gitmo or whatever they used to call the place.
Yes.
And then it'll go through the Bahamas. It'll stay east of the United States. So we've had a season this year. When I look at our forecast for impact, where I was wrong, and you know, we make this forecast before the season, is it looks like the centering of the storms was maybe 400 or 500 miles further east rather than back off the South Atlantic coast. Is more toward the area, you know, around Bermuda and there where you see all these storms using the, moving through. So before the season, Weather Bell does something no one else does, is put out the area we feel will have the highest amount of what we call the ACE index, where the storms will become strongest. And it looks like it's been a little bit further east. And so the United States has been spared that kind of situation. Now, the interesting thing about a development down there at this time of the year is we got to look out for a lot of cold, Thanksgiving to Christmas. A lot of times when you get Western Caribbean development late in the season, there's a certain pattern that sets that off, and I've talked about this before. It's called the Madden-Julian Oscillation, and the same kind of pattern that will produce a September or October, even early November hurricane in that area of the world, that then rotates around, and later in November and December, it's responsible for cold, and we saw that last year. We saw it in 22, where we had some of our coldest outbreaks came just before Christmas. You remember the playoff game last year with SMU, how cold it was. It was third or fourth coldest to Beaver Stadium history. Of course, having a playoff game December 21st.
I could have anticipated that a bit.
It was a nice sunny day. It wasn't like the Ice Bowl in 87 against Notre Dame, which there were maybe 18,000 people in the crowd, and I had to sit in that game because my brother, who I said was a football coach, was up here watching the game, and he would not leave. And I knew the person he was with would be his wife because she stayed the entire game too. That was a brutal game. It was a good thing we won the game. But in any case, there is some linkage to that. We're looking at that very, very closely. Overall, the temperatures are going to be running below normal for the next 10 to 15 days, and we may get a shot of cold air enough that we see our first snowflakes of the season in the form of, you know, snow showers or, what's that hitting the windshield of my car? So that starts happening at this time of the year.
Yeah.
A lot of rain coming up, though, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And, you know, this rain that we've had really made me mad because it ruined the colors around here. I brought this up last week that the coloring of the trees, a lot of it depends on how dry it is. And though it's been drier than normal, it got wet with that 2-inch rainstorm we had. that the trees never got to that, you know, full flaming level that we enjoy around here so much. And it was partly because we had so much rain during that one period, it put the water back into the ground to get back into the trees. And, you know, even though the leaves are going to fall anyway, put some back in there where they could grow back a little bit again, or at least fight off the colors. So that was a bummer for me. I like the autumn. I like watching those colors.
I'm with you. Joe, looking ahead, I think trick-or-treating for just about everybody, if not everybody around here, will be Friday night. Are those showers going to be out of here by then, or they could still be lingering a bit?
You know, hold on just a second here. Let me look at this. I mean, because I should have thought about that, because I just went out and bought candy for our trick-or-treaters, and I realized...
It's dangerous for me to buy it any time before Friday, because I do not have a lot of discipline when it comes to access
to sweets. Well, it's dangerous because you might as well go out and buy a filet mignon nowadays. You get enough... I mean, a darn candy cost me $75.
Oh,
I mean,
it is. Yes, it is absolutely amazing. I guess everything has gone up, but yes, we did take note of that as well.
Well, it's going to be windy and quite cool. It'll be in the 40s, and there probably going to be a couple of showers around. The passing sprinkles, okay. Nothing real big. Ohio State game, mixture of clouds and sunshine, middle 40s. Actually, more clouds and sun and a couple of showers around for the Ohio State game. All right, so I don't think it's too bad a game as far as the weather goes, but it's what you'd expect November 1st.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it can't be 85 degrees every time. I remember we had a November game, 74, and I think it was against West Virginia. And it was just like in the low to mid 70s outside during the game. It was just absolutely beautiful. But you can't have that all the time. And so it'll be on the chilly side for the football games going out to Columbus. And if you're trick-or-treating, not as bad as a couple of times. Boy, I'll tell you, 2002, I was out trick-or-treating with my kids, and we had an ice storm, ice and snow. And that was just absolutely brutal. So there's been times when trick-or-treat has been marred by more than just some wind and some showers, and that's what we're going to be having this trick-or-treating.
True enough. Well, dress accordingly, be prepared, and still get out and enjoy it. That's an opportunity to get free candy.
Yeah, that is an opportunity to get free candy. And, of course, if you're a hard-training athlete, it's not pigging out. It's called carbohydrate loading. That's what that is.
That's exactly what that is.
It's kind of funny because I do take a little bit of that chocolate before, I get just a little, maybe 10 calories worth of chocolate, stick it under my tongue before I go work out. It's cheap, man. It's, who's RFK Jr.? He says he puts a little thing of nicotine in his gum or something like that. So it's cheap man's nicotine chocolate, dark chocolate. Anyway,
whatever works, baby. Whatever works.
All right. We forgot to talk about what just happened over in Serbia.
Well, we have 2 minutes, so go to a minute and a half. Go ahead.
It was amazing. Funny, Casey's tweet last night of the 30 classes in U20, U23, and the world. Nittany Lion Wrestling Club had 15 of those classes and brought home 11 medals.
Incredible.
Guys that,
six
that,
gold.
That,
yep.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that is that, you know, when, the big schism occurred and David left, and, you know, the wrestling media, Oklahoma State, best room in the world, you know, because guys were, you know, some guys left our room and went over there and everything else, but... You know, and it's funny, when Cunningham tweets, he very rarely tweets. He never makes an editorial comment. He just puts down what there is, and it speaks for itself. So a great performance. That's the end of the freestyle season. And, of course, we had the real American freestyle Saturday night, which was interesting. Carter, I love Carter, but he's got to gain weight. He's not going to that guy Nate Jackson. I don't know if folks watch a match or whatever. He's a handful. He's always been a handful.
Yeah, and, a lot of power, and a lot of length. And yes, that combination was a problem for Carter on Saturday.
Yeah,
no doubt.
But the other guys did real good. Nico's married, has a kid, and you know. He's still pretty good to come out of it and just get a chance to do that. But like I've always said, though, folks, if you have a problem with what's going on with football, just hold on. It's like Santa Claus is coming, and so is the wrestling season.
Yes, indeed. November 14th, we get to put our worries aside. Mr. Bastardi, in the meantime, what should we do with that there weather?
Enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
That is Joe Bastardi. He joins us with WeatherBell.com every Monday morning in our final segment. Folks, enjoy your Monday. We'll be back tomorrow.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox Sports.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Fox Sports.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference